Anyone who has been following the news outlets in Israel this past week, you are well aware of an extremely sensitive and emotional story about a woman who passed away here in America, and her children were flying to Eretz Israel to do the Kvura in Yerushalayim and Har HaZeisim, and she has a son who over the past 15 years has not given his wife a legitimate get, a legitimate divorce document. In what would seem to be an unprecedented ruling, the chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Lau, issued a psak to the Chevra Kadisha in Yerushalayim that the mother's body should not be buried until the son would agree to give his wife a legitimate divorce. So now he's coming out and claiming he gave a get 10 years ago. It's an illegitimate divorce document that he gave 10 years ago through an illegitimate Beis Din that also put my father in Chayrim. So there's a lot of stories behind this, but anyway, it's a complicated situation. Since this happened, there's been a tremendous amount of discussion on social media and all over the place about the validity of such a psak and about whether such solutions to pressuring a husband to giving his wife a get are even allowed in the first place. And it happens to be, as I mentioned, for a variety of reasons, I'm following very closely what's going on in this story. And I thought it was a good opportunity to really discuss some of the relevant issues, not so much to this case, but more what's relevant to the general cases of igun that we hear about, because we need to better understand and appreciate what the issue is really about. It's not as simple as it sounds. I know a lot of people are making comments on social media, you know, that there are easier ways to deal with this. It's not so simple, and it's an issue that's worthy of our understanding. Obviously, we only have 15 minutes, so we're going to say really the highlights of the sugya, the main points of what are relevant to this question, but in truth, you can talk about this for weeks and weeks because there is so much complexity to this very important issue. The term aguna that we've all heard of is conventionally used in the Gemara when we have a woman whose husband has been lost, a woman whose husband's whereabouts are unknown. He goes the Medina Sayyam, the Gemara says, he goes on a business trip somewhere, he was on a boat, we don't know what happened to him, he was swimming somewhere, he got lost in an ocean. That is the classical case that the Gemara talks about, where we have an aguna who needs to be freed, otherwise she's going to be stuck for the rest of her life. That is generally the aguna that the Gemara describes. And today, when we talk about an aguna, it's unusual that we have a situation like that, where somebody went on a trip, and he gets lost, and we don't hear about him, and we don't know anything about his whereabouts. That's generally not the situation of aguna that we describe today. Usually, what we know today is, we all know very well exactly where the husband lives, we all know exactly what he does for a living, and everything about him, and the problem is that he's choosing not to give his wife a get. Now, sometimes, by the way, it can go in the opposite direction as well. The husband is more than willing to give a get, and the wife refuses to accept. That does happen. Generally not, but that does happen every once in a while, and you have to understand that every case needs to be looked into carefully to understand what the background of the situation is. Not every time is the husband right, not every time is the wife right, sometimes they're both wrong, sometimes they're both right, whatever it may be, but these cases are extremely complex and very, very complicated. So in Parshas Ki Tsetse, the Torah there describes what happens when a couple unfortunately needs to get divorced. When they got married, everything seemed to be like they were on the right track, they were going in the same direction, and now, for whatever reason, they've gone in their own separate directions. So there the Pasuk says, "Bekasef la sefer krisus," the husband has to write some kind of document, "Vinasan biyada," and he has to give it to his wife. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Yevamos that the only way that a woman can get divorced from her husband, the only way that they can nullify their original commitment of marriage is if, number one, the husband is the one who gives the divorce document. There are many today who say, well, why can't the woman give a document to her husband that says she doesn't want to be married to him? It would be a great idea, but the Torah says, "Vinasan biyada," because of law, he has to be the one to have the process be set in motion. It doesn't work the other way. And number two, says the Mishnah, it has to be that he does it meiratzon. It has to be that he does it from his own volition. He does it because he consented, he approved, he sent somebody to do this, he has a sofer right on his behalf. However, says the Gemara there, as well as the Maseches Gittin Daf Peches, what would be the halacha if the husband was forced, if he was under duress to write this get? If he was pressured or intimidated to write the get, says the Gemara, such a divorce document is invalid. And in fact, harehi ke'eshes ish l'chol davar, like the marriage is exactly where it was a month ago. Nothing changes at all. Her status doesn't change. His status doesn't change. If he was forced into giving the document, even though now she has it in her hands, but if it wasn't done properly, it is not going to count for anything. So in fact, with the Rambam, in the very first halacha, in the very first perek in Hilchos Gerushin, when he lays out the plan for what's supposed to take place when a couple needs to get divorced, writes the Rambam, Ein ha'isha misgareshes ela biksav she'agiala. The only way to nullify a marriage is if the woman will have a divorce document in her hand, uksav zehu nikra get. And that's what we refer to as a get, says the Rambam. So we're all familiar. Now he says that there are 10 conditions in order for a get to be kosher. In order for that document to be valid, you need to follow and comply with 10 different conditions. Number one, says the Rambam, the first condition is shelo yigare sha'ish ela birtzono. Most importantly, he says, is that the husband needs to be the one who initiates the process, and he needs to do it from his own will. Initiate the process doesn't mean if his wife asks for a divorce and then he acquiesces, obviously that means he was part of the process. But it means he cannot be forced into this. And the Rambam says in all the 10 conditions that he's going to list, this is the first one that he mentions, shelo yigare sha'ish ela birtzono, that he has to make sure that this happens from his own will. This is a decision, this is a choice that he makes that he was not forced into. And that is a very important halacha. As we mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch quotes what the Gemara says, that if somebody is forced into doing this, it is not going to be a valid get at all. Now, there are very specific circumstances that the Gemara describes where the halacha demands that a husband has to give his wife a divorce. So for example, the Gemara says, what if you have a woman who claims that her husband is an ukkar, he's infertile? When they got married, her plan was that they were going to have children. His plan was that they were going to have children. And now it turns out she's a young woman who's able to have children, and for whatever reason, her husband has some kind of problem. So this comes up a lot today, and the circumstances are very different because we have so many interventions today, and we have so much help that you can get. But if you have, in the times of the Gemara says that was the understanding of the marriage, that I was going to marry this man because I assumed he was going to be able to have children. And now it turns out he's an ukkar. It turns out he is unable to have children. He is infertile, says the Gemara. In such a case, the halacha demands that if his wife asks for a divorce, he must divorce her. The halacha demands that that must be the case. Similarly, the Gemara says, if he's not able to have yachasei ishus, if he's not able to live up to his conjugal responsibility to his wife, for whatever reason, he is unable to do that, then his wife is able to demand that she wants a divorce. Now, what does it mean that you're able to demand that you want a divorce? Well, here says the Gemara, both in Baba Basra as well as in Kiddushin, that we as a community can go and force the man to divorce his wife under these conditions. What does it mean to force? How can you force anybody? So the Gemara says, the good old way that they used to do it, which obviously we don't do today, but the good old way they used to do it is makin osa b'shotin. They would actually hit him. They would bludgeon him until the person agreed to give in, and he said, finally, rotza ani, I'm willing to do it, and he would write a get. That's what the Gemara says. Let's make clear, we don't do that today. We don't have the authority to do such a thing today. Nobody should get the mistaken impression, but the Gemara says, under very specific circumstances, the community or the Beis Din would have a right to do that to a husband who refuses to give his wife a get. Now, this needs explanation, because what we said is that a husband is never allowed to be forced to give a get. It always has to be from his ratzon. Because of La Sefer Krisus, he has to initiate the process. He has to agree to this. So how does this work? How does the Gemara say that if a husband, under these halachic conditions, has an obligation to divorce his wife, and he doesn't want to, we have a right to force him? How can we do that? That means the get is not going to be written from his will, and that should invalidate the document. So how does this work? Explains, so the Tosfos writes a whole story about this, and the Rambam writes very philosophically, he explains the reason why. He says, deep down, every Jew really wants to do the right thing. That's what the Rambam's position is. He assumes every Jew always wants to do the right thing. The problem is, sometimes we have a Yetzer Hara who gets in our way and convinces us that we should do something different from what the Ratzon Hashem is. So says the Rambam, when the halacha dictates that you must get divorced under these conditions, and you're choosing not to, that's not really you that's saying you don't want to. That's your Yetzer Hara saying you don't want to. And if we force you until the point where you say, Rotza Ani, that means we're getting you to say what your real inner self always wanted to do all along. So we're helping you. We're unleashing you from your shackles of your own Yetzer Hara, says the Rambam. It's a beautiful line. Rambam says, Lama lo batal get ze shahareyu anus? If we force a man to give a divorce document to his wife under these specific conditions that the Gemara states, how can that be valid? Don't we know that you're not allowed to force him? Says the Rambam. The answer is that really every Jew wants to do the right thing. Lefikach, ze she'eino rotze legarish me'achar shehu rotze lios mi'Yisrael, since he does want to be a Jew, rotzehu lasas kol ha'mitzvos. He obviously wants to do what God expects of him. And therefore, by us forcing him to do that, says the Rambam, we are just getting him to do what he always wanted to do, just there was something blocking him in the way. So that's not called coercion. That's a tremendous chiddush, but that's what the Rambam says. Now, the question now becomes, we have 1,001 reasons why a couple can want to get divorced. And those three specific examples that the Gemara gives of where the halacha demands that a couple get divorced, that is usually not the situation today. So today, let's say you have a woman who has 100 other reasons why she wants her husband to give her a divorce, and he says, I don't agree. I'm not interested in giving you a divorce. So what is the halacha then? Can we expand this category of the Gemara and say, well, if it's a legitimate reason, we have a right as a community to force you to give a divorce? Or was the Gemara limited only to those specific circumstances that were described in the Gemara itself? That is the major million-dollar question that has extreme ramifications for today. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Eben HaEzer. In Shulchan Aruch he writes, Kal elu she'amru lahotzi, all of these cases that the Gemara says a husband must divorce his wife, kofen osa afila b'shotim, says the Shulchan Aruch, means the Beis Din has a right to actually physically go after this person. And then he says, well, maybe that's only in the specific situations that are described in the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not so comfortable expanding that to anything more. The Ramah picks up on this point. The Ramah says, I'm not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe we could expand it. But the Ramah says, you have a major question on the line. Because if I'm wrong, says the Ramah, if we don't adopt the position that you're allowed to force a husband, then what is the consequence? You're going to force the husband to give a get where you shouldn't have. Means even though he wrote the get and gave it to his wife, it was not a legitimate document. And that means she's going to go ahead and get remarried, assuming that she's allowed to. And really, she's still an Eishes Ish. And that means any child that she has from a subsequent marriage is a mamzer. So says the Ramah, you got to be careful. This is not so simple. And therefore he says, since it's such a major machlokah, since it's so unclear as to whether or not you can force a husband to give a get under other conditions, therefore the Ramah says we would not force except for exactly what the Gemara says. Now, the Ramah then adds something interesting. Mikal makom. Even though he says we don't expand this category, and we do not assume you have a right to force a husband for any reason that the wife gives that she wants a divorce, Mikal Makom, says the Rambam, we still have a right, Ligzer al Kol Yisrael, Shalo Lasos Lo Shum Tova. We have a right to send out advertisements all over the newspapers to let everybody know, send out emails. Everyone should know that we as a community are not allowed to do anything good for this person, says the Rambam. For example, no one's allowed to do business with him. If he has a child, we're not allowed to do a bris milah for his son, which is amazing. The Ramah says, Lekavro, if he dies, we don't bury him. And we make this clear. Ad shiyagarish, until he's willing to divorce his wife and give her a get as he should, says the Ramah, we are allowed as a community to say, we are not going to give you the services that we would do for anybody else. Anyone else's child who's born gets a bris milah. Anyone else who dies gets to be buried. Of course, we don't give problems. However, the Ramah says, in such a situation where the husband is refusing to give his wife a get, says the Ramah, obviously we're not allowed to be physical with him, but the Ramah says, we as a community have a right to get in his way. We as a community have a right to say, we are not going to treat you the way we treat everybody else until you give your wife a get. And if that means you're not going to be buried, it means you won't be buried. And if it means that you won't be able to do a bris milah for your son, too bad. You have an alternative to give your wife a get, and that won't be a problem. That's what the Ramah writes. It is not the Ramah's Chiddush. This is what we refer to as Harchakos de Rabbeinu Tam. This was a concept that was instituted by Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, that although we don't have a right to physically go after somebody who's not giving his wife a get, we do have a right to get in his way as a community and to say we're not going to offer you the services that we otherwise would to anyone else. Now, the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the page in Shulchan Aruch there writes, well, the Maharivayil, who was one of the great Gedolim in the 1500s, writes, we don't follow this Rabbeinu Tam anymore. Even though the Ramah quotes it, I'm not so comfortable with it. We don't have a right as a community to put pressure on a person. We can't do such a thing because, he says, when you put pressure on a person today, that's the same as beating him up. You're not giving him an opportunity to live. If you say that this person is not allowed to shul, and this person is not allowed to do a bris milah on his children, and he's not allowed to do anything else, we can't do business with him, that's basically destroying him. So says the Pischei Tshuva, that's why today we have abolished, in the 1500s, he says, we have gotten rid of this Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, and we no longer accept it. And the Chazon Ish says, why do you assume that the conditions today are different than they were in the days of Rabbeinu Tam? If Rabbeinu Tam thought that that's not called forcing a person to do something, all you're doing is putting some communal pressure, but in the end, he gives in on his own, That's not called forcing, coercing a person to give a get. Why would it be different if it worked for Rabbeinu Tam? It should work for us today as well. Why would you assume that the nature of our community has changed so much? So this is a major discussion. Rabbi Avadia has a beautiful tshuva where he writes a number of tshuvas where he goes through throughout history how many great gedolim, how many generations they had where they did follow the harchakas de Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore Rabbi Avadia says that's why we have a right to do it today as well. So when we have somebody who classically is me'agin his wife, if it's really for legitimate purposes, if we deem it as a legitimate ma'agin, I should say, and we assume that it's not right that he's holding back from giving that document, we have a right to use harchakas de Rabbeinu Tam, like the Rama says. Now, the Bir Agra writes, one of the reasons why Rabbeinu Tam would be something that we're allowed to do, says the Vilna Gaon, and others write the same thing, is because you're not destroying him. He has an option to move somewhere else. You're not killing him. If he doesn't want to have this problem in our community that no one's doing business with him and no one's doing a bris milah, let him move somewhere else. So therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, that's not called forcing, because he has an out. He has an option. And he chooses not to follow that option. That's his choice. That's not our problem. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. Now today, the problem is, I was discussing this with my father yesterday, nowadays the problem is, with the advance of the internet and with social media, this person can't live anymore, because anywhere they move, someone's going to go after them. Someone's going to find out about what happened, and someone is going to hold them to this issue that really was an issue in the other community, and now he moved out. So you're back to the original problem. Isn't this coercion? Isn't this a problem of forcing somebody to give a get? After all, he has no out. He has no option. He can't just move somewhere else. Even if he moves somewhere else, they're going to make him trouble today, because that new community will find out about it anyway. And the chiddush that my father said yesterday was, yes, it's true, but through the advent of technology as well, this man also today finds himself a new community of people who are supportive of him that he never knew about before. So there's a whole community of ma'agnim out there. There's a whole community of people out there in the world who he never would have met. And today, through social media, they become his friends and they become his community. And therefore, he still has an out. He still has an opportunity to live a life and to be a person if he chooses to do so. Now, it's a wrong thing to do. But again, that would satisfy this position of the Vilna Gaon, where he says the whole rationale of Rabbeinu Tam in the first place was that the reason why we're allowed to make our harchakos is because we're not destroying his life. He can move somewhere else. Well, what about today when he can't move somewhere else without people knowing? Well, it's true. The people there will know, but he'll have twice as many people who will also be supportive of him, and therefore he still has the opportunity to make the decision that he wants to make. Anyway, this is a very, very complicated sugya, as I mentioned in the beginning, a lot more than just 15 minutes worth, but this is the basic outline of the discussion, and it's something that is actually a very, very important but interesting halachic sugya to understand, because when people speak about it, often you see they don't understand the nuance of how careful we need to be between, on the one hand, the get mu'usa, if somebody's forced to give a get, that is invalid, and on the other hand, the harchakas de Rabbeinu Tam, that the Ramah does describe here.